Have your Bible, turn to the book of James tonight, please. The book of James, chapter number 1. Book of James, chapter number 1. And I'd like to take you to verse number 18. Book of James, chapter number 1, going to verse number 18 tonight. And I'd like to read down to the end of this chapter. Why do you read so much from the Word of God? Dr. Malone said to us preacher boys, read much from the Word of God and from the Scriptures. One is God people need to hear it. Number two is if you get in trouble in one Scripture, you can always flee to the next one. Oh, a lot of verses in the Word of God, and what wonderful privilege we have to read of His Word. Begin verse number 18. It says, of His own will begat He us with the Word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he be not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, thank you. We have the privilege to enter this house tonight and to sing your praises. Oh God, how wonderful it is to be able to practice for the heavenly choir and to know that one day that the songs will exalt you more than we've ever imagined. Oh God, to join with the seraphim and the holy, holy, holy. To be able to just give you the praise due your name. Lord, I thank you for that day that's coming when every knee shall bow before you. Oh God, every voice might be lifted to give you honor. I pray, Lord, tonight that you would cause your word to go deep within our soul. Do its work in our midst. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. There are two things that take place when we come to a service such as this, and that is, we always want to somehow give at least a little bit that's going to talk about the privilege of salvation. And so we speak of that, and of course in our scripture tonight we find that the way to salvation is through the Word of God. But we also find that a great part of any service is not only for salvation but for the sanctification of God's people. First of all, we've got to get saved. And then secondly, God wants to sanctify. See, boy, that's a big word. It just simply means God wants to set us apart for His service. God has a plan for you. God has a plan for me. And some of those plans that God has, they correlate. As you and I have the written will of God that is for all of us. And then, of course, there is those specific things that God has for each one of us as we labor together for the cause of Christ. As we come to this particular book, the book of James, very practical book, Martin Luther, as he looked at this book, thought it probably wasn't of the Word of God because he could not understand what it had to say. Because Martin Luther found out by faith, we're saved. And yet when we come to the book of James, it almost seems like the Lord is saying, by works are ye saved, though that be not true. What James is saying, you get saved by faith, and though that faith will produce works. That's the sanctification. We see that evidence very well in the verses before us tonight. The first portion of this chapter is speaking of the testing of God's people. You and I, we are going to have those times of testing. God wants us to understand that. Notice verse number 3. He says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. There's going to be those trials that come into our life. Matter of fact, in verse number 2, he says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Now, let's understand something tonight. When the Lord's talking about temptations, or the word tempt here, He is not talking about a solicitation by God to do evil. That is not His intent. Verse 13 is very clear of that. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth He any man. And He's speaking of tempting with evil. But this word here, it's talking more about, rather than that word which we would think of as solicitation to do evil, He's talking about a testing. God is testing for our endurance. God is testing us as it is really a gift from Him. We don't see it that way, but it is. Notice, as He's dealing with this matter of testing and temptation, verse number 17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from above. Why has He placed that there? Because God gives to you and I this wonderful thing of testing. We have in our church what is called FBI. It's not Federal Bureau of Investigation, but it's Faith Bible Institute. And on Thursday nights, a number of our folks meet together, and they are being taught some things from the Word of God. Some of our folks have opted not to be involved in the testing. One of the things I've learned from that is those who opt not to be in the testing do not learn as much as those who take the test. Interesting. And some who are taking the test said, but preacher, have you seen my grade? What would your grade be had you not studied for the test? Is my question. Because testing does something for us. It ought to be that which produces something in our lives. And when we're in school, it's not just to find out where we're at, but it's also a time of teaching. It's a time for strengthening, not succumbing. And that's why God says here that it's from above. He says it cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God wants to what? Raise us up through this thing of testing. Now, as we look here in the verse number 18, the beginning of our text tonight says, of His own will begat He us with the word of truth. As we start in this particular portion of this chapter, we find that it speaks of our beginnings. Of His own will begat He us. I believe it could refer to one of two things. One is it could refer to our creation as God spoke us into existence. And as God gave to you and I our life, and thus our creation. But also I believe it could refer to our recreation. As God is seeking to remake us. By the way, let's stop there and just put a parenthesis around this, because this is something that we ought to get a good handle on. Somehow in our culture today, we think that recreation, which comes from recreation, is a time where we just go out and have fun, we let our hair down, and we do whatever. Recreation, recreation in God's sight has a purpose. It is to strengthen us. It is to bring us back into harmony with God. Most recreation takes us out of harmony with God. Many years ago, my brother, my oldest brother, who has been gone for many years, passed away in 1980. He had taken a vacation. I don't remember him ever taking one before. I don't remember ever taking one after that. But his wife, Louise, had relatives that lived in South Dakota, and they were farmers. And they decided that they were going to take off a week and go up to South Dakota. And they got there just as they were putting up hay. How many have ever put up hay? One of those wonderful jobs. And this was in the day before they had the big balers that made those 3,000-pound bales you see sitting out in the middle of the thing, and you've got to have a tractor to pick them up. I mean, we're talking about those nice 80 and 100-pounders. That you walk along, you grab one, you throw it up in a wagon, another guy grabs it and they stack it up on the hay wagon. Then you take it back to the barn and you stack it up so that you can feed your cattle later in the year. He got there at haying time. And of course, Having been raised on the farm, my brother knew exactly what was expected of him. I mean, you show up at haying time, that means you're going to go haying. And that doesn't mean, hey, you. It means you get out there and you work. My brother had been a carpet and linoleum layer. He was considered one of the best in laying for mica in our city. And he gets up there, and now he's off work, and he's out to have some recreation, and he works like a dog. Do dogs work? For the next 6-7 days. He came back home and he said this to us. He said, you know what? I worked harder than I've ever worked that I can remember in my life. Even when I was on the farm as a kid. But he said, you know what? I came back refreshed. Ready to go back to my job. Maybe to rest. I don't know. But it was one of those things. It brought refreshment to him, to where he was now ready to face what was before him. Think about that. God wants us to have recreation. Maybe we ought to say recreation. And there's ways in which He does that. And I believe that in the next few verses, we find exactly what God is referring to as He explains to us how this can take place initially in our creation and then continually in what it needs to be, a continual recreation of our hearts and lives. Notice with me, verses number 19 and 20 especially. For if we are going to have recreation take place in our lives, there must be a receptivity, a receiving of the Word of God. Notice verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be what? Swift to hear, slow to speak. This is interesting. Slow to wrath. How many ears did God give you? How many mouths did God give you? You reckon God is trying to tell us what proportion we ought to be using them? We ought to be a people who are very swift to what? Hear. To hear what? Particularly, I believe from context, it would be the Word of God. Be ready always to hear what God has. Now, we may hear it through the reading, through the eye. We may hear it through the teaching and the preaching. But God wants us to be swift to hear it. In other words, be ready to allow the Word of God to come in our hearts. But notice what he says in verse number 20, for the wrath of man, he says, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. There are those who are ready to receive it, but there are also those who have a resentment to the Word of God being read, being taught, being preached. And thus they do not allow the work of God or the work of righteousness to take place within. There is the need in our hearts and our lives for the Word of God. Of course, we find that the Bible speaks of the Word being the seed. That seed is sown and that seed generates, and we find that a plant is growing. In other words, a soul gets saved. How? Through the Word of God. But that same Word needs to be constantly coming in our lives because it is that which becomes the source of our spiritual nourishment. It is that which generates in each of us a life of faith. Faith cometh by what? Hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. Our faith can only grow as we allow the Word of God to come into our lives. God wants us to grow in our faith. God wants us to grow in the things of God. How's it going to take place? Through the reception of the Word of God. But not only the reception of the Word of God, I find in the next several verses there must be a responsiveness to that Word. Not only must we receive it, we need to respond. In verse 21, he says, lay apart. That means to put off like dirty clothing. Lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted Word which is able to save your soul. Put off filthiness, dirtiness. He says, put off superfluity of naughtiness. What's he mean? A superabundance of badness. Put that off that we might what? Take in the Word of God. If we're going to have salvation of the soul, there must be a repentance away from the sin that is in our lives. But if we're also going to have a sanctification of our soul, that same thing must take place in our lives. You cannot hold on to the one and receive the other. There needs to be a response. Many times we sit in a service, we hear the Word of God preached, God speaks to our hearts, and we know that we ought to respond to God, but we do not do so. Do you know what happens when we do not do so? Nothing. Nothing. Nothing happens. Nothing changes. Nothing grows. Nothing gets any farther in its relationship with God. But when you and I are willing to respond to the Word of God and allow God to do those things in our lives, what changes can be made? Notice verse number 22, but be ye what? Doers of the Word, and not hearers only, what's he say, deceiving your own selves. This change that God wants to make in our life is more than just a few actions. It's referring to our entire living, being doers of the Word. He is emphasizing here our total character. A hearer who isn't a doer is deceived. Sometimes we hear the Word of God and we say, I don't need to do that. And we think, hey, we're all right. We are deceiving ourselves when that be true. By the way, that word deceived is a math term. And in mathematics, if we are being deceived or having this take place, it would be called a miscalculation. Those who are content with hearing only have made a very serious miscalculation. In mathematics, we find that as you progress and as you get a little farther along and you get into fourth and fifth and sixth and seventh grade, as you get onto the high school, we find that it becomes a little more complicated. You find that the computations are more complicated. And you find that to have the right answer, there's a number of things that must take place. And one of those things, being an error, can cause the whole works to be wrong. A miscalculation. God wants us to understand today that we are to what? Be doers, not just hearers only. For a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he says in verse number 23, is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. What happens? A hearer only will soon forget how he looked and won't make any changes. There's always a group of folks in a church who sit, they soak, and they sour. That's what happens. They sit in the pew, they soak up the Word of God, they allow nothing to change them, but what happens? They walk out as sour as ever has been before. They attend church, but not intensely involved. Matter of fact, they think they serve in God by their mere attendance. And they are deceived, and the growth is not there. The doer sees himself in the law of God. Notice in verse number 25 says, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he be not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. The doer sees himself in the law. He's called here the law of liberty. You see, when you get saved, the law of God has a new complexion to it. It's not a series of things that say, don't do this, don't do that. It's a series of things that say, hey, do this, look what it gives you. I don't know about you. I don't look at thou shalt not kill as something that says to me, Gene Springer, you ought not to be going around seeking somebody to kill. It's saying to me, praise God, God loves life and wants me to have life. When it says thou shalt not steal, it's saying, hey, God wants me to enjoy those things or have those things that are needful for life's sustenance. And we see it in a different light. The liberty of the saint is freedom to overcome sin's bondage and do right. And God wants us to walk in that regard. And so we find that God is teaching us in these verses that we need to receive the Word of God. However it might come to us, we need to on a daily basis pick up its this book we call the Bible and read from its wonderful pages, allowing those things that are contained therein to enter into our hearts. Oh, how we need to read the Word of God. How we need to then, not only to read it, but to respond to it. Not just to allow it to come into the head and not even think anything about it, but to look at it and find out, what is it that God has here for me? What kind of changes does He want to make in my life? What is it that God is trying to work in my life? How can I make it applicable for myself? And then notice lastly, as I look at the last couple of verses here tonight, how we need to resign ourselves to this His Word. Verse 26 says, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. In other words, when you and I allow the Word of God to bring change in our lives, it is going to do something. When we resign ourselves to it, saying, God, we have Your way, there is some practical things that take place. I remember so vividly when I got saved and I announced to my father and my mother that I felt that God wanted me to go into the ministry. My daddy came to me and he said, son, why don't you finish your college? I was attending the University of Omaha, now called UNO, and I had changed my major a few times because I didn't know the direction to go. And at this particular time, I don't know what it was. It had been biology, it had been philosophy, it had been history. I'd had this, that, and the other thing, whatever kind of caught my attention at the moment. And he said, you need to get a good education in some areas so that you can have something practical to fall back on. Now, those were good words by my father, but I thought to myself, you know, serving God is practical. He did not quite understand that at that time. Later on, he did. But oh, how we need to resign ourselves to doing the Word of God. It will show itself in our day-to-day conversation. It will show itself up in these areas of our lives. Pure religion, undefiled before God and the Father, is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, to keep himself unspotted from the world. It is saying, it will show itself in service to others. We will find ourselves in a position where we have great compassion for those who are afflicted, those who are fatherless, those who have not the wonderful good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. It will bring us that spot of right conduct and right character. God wants you and I tonight to receive His Word. God wants us tonight to respond to His Word. God wants us to resign ourselves to following His Word. Now let's get real for a few moments. Let's bring it down to reality. Folks attend church, but do you really respond to the Word of God? Do you allow its truth to enter into your heart and the Spirit of God to speak to you about what is wrong and what needs to be made right? You see, many of God's children have learned how to turn it off. I believe tonight in Christian education. I've been involved with it most of my life. I believe educating the child from the Word of God and from all the things that God has on the rest of the days of the week besides Sunday is mighty important. However, through the years, I've had a number of folks who criticize that, and one of the biggest criticisms is that they become deadened to the Word of God and come to the spot where they just turn it off. By the way, there's some truth to that. I find that in the pews to be much greater than the chairs of the classroom. That's my personal experience. We are people that far too often, we will receive, but we don't respond. We don't allow God to really speak to us. I remember one service, I had everybody stand up. Many, many years ago, I believe it was up in the old area that we met in. And I had everybody repeat after me, I am not through this service going to think about anybody else but myself in regards to this message. I'm not going to make application to somebody else, but I'm going to allow God to speak to me from this message. For far too often, that's what we do. And we think, well, I hope somebody so-and-so is listening. What have we just done? We're not responding. We're receiving it because we know what's being said. But we're not allowing God to speak to us. We do that far too often. And as a result, the changes cannot take place. There must be that responsiveness. You see, you want people to walk down the aisle, that would help. But there must be a responsiveness in the heart. It's not walking the aisle that makes the difference. The responsiveness in the heart that needs to take place. We've sat around at camp. I've heard this conversation a number of times. We sit out here at camp and we hear the preaching, but we get home and we don't respond. By the way, is that God's fault? It's because we get our hearts and our minds on so many other things. We don't let God speak to us. It's not only in church service, but we pick up our Bible and we read it. And as we're reading it, we're seeing the words, but it's not entering the heart. We're not being responsive. It can't do its work. Why? Because we're thinking about all the other things. Other people, other situations. Not allowing God to speak to us. You folks tonight believe something. And that is, you believe God's Word can change lives. You believe that. But one of the things that you and I don't do is let God do that for us through an unresponsive kind of heart. We don't come prepared for that. To let God speak to us. And thus, we cannot be doers of the Word and we deceive ourselves. God wants to do a work. Amen? He wants to do that. And God wants you and I to respond. And when we respond, to resign ourselves from personal to godly duties. Lord God, tonight, work in our hearts.